Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. You can probably hear it, but my voice has returned. And I'm glad to be on the program with you. So much to get to on today's program. But first, let me say this, as most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, let me offer my repeated reminder that the privilege of serving a family is ministry. We must not forget that the scriptures lay out the primary responsibility for evangelizing and discipling the offspring of Christian children, the first line of service, the first responders, eternal first responders, if you will, with the comfort and aid and guidance of the Holy Spirit, are the parents. It's not the church's job, it's not the school's job to disciple your children or to evangelize your children. It is your job as a parent. It is my job. I cannot expect someone at church to do what I'm supposed to do, that it is my responsibility. It is also our responsibilities to serve and treat our spouses as unto the Lord. That's what the Bible talks about. And so I just want to offer you the reminder that the family, serving in the family, is ministry. All too often, the negative testimony is that the believer has neglected home in order to win the world. I'm not saying that we should ignore the world, but we certainly should not sacrifice our family to do it. So let us serve well outside of our homes, yes, but certainly let us serve our families well. And let's remember the admonition that the Apostle Paul gave, that if we don't serve our own families well, we were less than an infidel. Strong words, strong condemnations from that. Second thing I want to say is if you are in the Jackson, Mississippi area, we invite you to join us at the Pro-Life Mississippi Banquet. I will be offering a keynote address there where we will be standing firmly for life in Jackson, Mississippi on April 11th. You are welcome to join. To get more information about that, you can go to prolifemississippi.org. prolifemississippi.org is the website where you will need to go for that. And in addition to that, I will also be in the Madison, Mississippi area on April 9th at the First Independent Methodist Church of Madison. So if you're in that area, this will be a daytime meeting at the First Independent Church of Madison. The address there is 1556 Highway 51 in Madison, Mississippi, zip code 39110. So I would look forward to seeing you at both of those places if you're able to make it. I will tell you, they're not the same events, so I won't be talking about the same things at both events, but I would love to see you there. One of my favorite things to do since the Lord has blessed me to be able to serve you all through this program is to meet members of my eternal family all over the country. And I said this before, I'll say it again, I loved it when I was last in Dallas at First Baptist Church of Dallas just a couple weeks ago. The first thing that happened as soon as I got there, because I tend to get there a little early, that's something that you guys know, I tend to get to these events early. The first thing that happened, these two sisters in the Lord, they had these warm, smiling faces. I didn't know them, but apparently they knew me. They walked up to me and said, come on here, my brother from another mother, and gave me a big, big bear hug. And man, I have to tell you, I loved it. And part of the reason why I love it is because I get to get a small glimpse. We get to enjoy a small glimpse of what we will have for eternity. So I am eagerly looking forward to that. And so that's why I enjoy doing it when I get to do it all around our nation and the other places where God would allow me to go. So if you're listening to this and you show up at any of these events, don't be shy. Come on and get some of this ebony hugging. Because you are welcome to do so. Well, with that, we will turn to the Word of God, to Psalm chapter 37. This is a Psalm of David. Psalm 37, just the first six verses of this psalm is what we're going to talk about today. Psalm 37, and it's important to note that as we delve into this psalm, this is a psalm that was written by David after Solomon had already ascended to the throne. So this is one of David's latter writings before his expiration. And I like to say, like Elder Bishop back in New Orleans, the parting message reveals truth. So this is one of the things that David is saying toward the end of his life, which is instructive for us, which lets us know this was something that David intended to be the type of advice to solidify his son Solomon as the king on the Israelite throne. So with that, let's read these first six verses. And this is what David says. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Or the NESB says that, and cultivate faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Oh, man, I love the word of God. Right off the bat, David's acknowledgement in writing toward the latter part of his life is to not to fret yourself because of evildoers. That is, I know that is something that many believers struggle with, because it seems like, well, what's the benefit of me walking upright before the Lord? And it seems like those who cut corners, those who cheat, who always get away with things. Listen, folks, one of the most beautiful components of life as a believer is that we evaluate life from heaven down, from an eternal perspective. As hard as it is to see from earth up, nobody's getting away with anything. Nobody's getting away with anything. And this is one of those bedrock truths that as the Lord comforted me with his scripture, the results were you not only no longer fret or envy evildoers, you have compassion for them. You realize, man, these people really think they're getting it on. They really think life is rocking and rolling for them. And they don't realize that there is literally hell to pay for rebellion. When we enter into that place of evaluating life from heaven down, you'll find yourself expanding in compassion. You know, the people that talk bad about you on the job, you know, the people that develop their sense of self-esteem by trying to put other people down, you know, you realize, man, the only reason why they act like that is because they don't know who they could be, who they are in Christ. They don't know that they're made in his likeness and image. They don't understand what it's like to have peace that surpasses all understanding. They don't understand that. And so you end up having a reversal of your perspective based on dwelling in who Christ has already told us we are. But then look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend or cultivate faithfulness. This is David really advising his son Solomon that you need to cultivate faithfulness to Yahweh. You need to grow in the relational discipline and the character that flows from feeding on the faithfulness of the Lord. Because the results of doing that will be verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, I know most of the time when people read this passage, you probably don't even get verses 1 through 3. You really probably might not even get the first half of verse 4. Because people want to NASCAR-like drive to, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. I can't tell you how many times I heard that growing up. Well, he said he'd give me the desires of your heart. And I say, slow down, Chico. Pump your brakes there. One of the best ways to get yourself and myself into trouble is when we live by half scriptures. You know, all things work together for the good. Not really. All things work together for the good for those who love God. That phrasing, those who love God, that's a qualifier for the all things working together for the good. Similarly, this, and he will give you the desires of your heart, is preceded by a qualification. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Folks, there's a prerequisite for receiving the desires of your heart. That prerequisite is, are we trusting in the Lord? Are we cultivating faithfulness? And then most importantly of that, is the Lord your delight? I'm not saying, are you cool with the Lord? I'm not saying, are you, do you enjoy having perfect attendance to church services? I'm asking the question, is the Lord your delight? You know, y'all listen to the program. Y'all know I'm from New Orleans. You want to see delight? Whip out a pot of fresh filet gumbo that's homemade. I ain't talking about none of that store-bought stuff. And none of those tourist restaurants. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Tourist restaurants. You know, on the main thoroughfare. I'll just tell you, here's a little secret. Here's a little secret. The best gumbo is not going to be in the mainstream restaurants in New Orleans, in case you don't know that. But the locals know when it's real. They can smell it. They can smell it. Oh, that roux ain't burnt. And you see a facial expression transformed. If the New Orleans reference may be too much, find a young lady who enjoys children, you know? Oh, look at the baby. I want to touch the baby. Can I squeeze the baby? Can I feel him? Can I touch it? Can I? Let me smell the baby. Because they delight in babies. Well, the Lord, through David, is saying, delight yourself in the Lord. See, the context is everything in this. Delight yourself in the Lord. Then you have the conjunction, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So what happens when a person delights himself in the Lord? First and foremost, we know we don't start off that way because nobody is born delighting in the Lord. So that's something that happens when we are converted, when we are regenerated, when we are transformed. There was an existence of delight prior to meeting the Lord, but now that we know him, our delight has been transformed. The stuff that we used to think, I don't worry about that praying stuff. Now we consider it a privilege and an honor to converse with the King of Glory. Because when the Lord becomes your delight, and we see that conjunction, and he gives you the desires of your heart, what he really has given you is the desires that he had before you began to delight in him. But what happens is that your heart, mind, and perspective is so transformed that you finally begin to love what he loves. You see, the Lord is not, you know, like I Dream of Jeannie, just granting to people the things that we cultivate in our wicked and unregenerate minds and hearts. That's not what the Lord does. The Lord dispenses according to his will. See, one of the fundamental problems in modern day easy believism is we want to live according to the notion that it's all about us. It's all about us. No, it's not all about us. It's all about him. And when we delight in him, we wouldn't want it any other way. Because we realize, as Peter said, Lord, where else can we go? What else is there to live for? What do I look like trying to take 7 cruises a year and build a $75,000 square foot house in my retirement and kick back on Easy Street when the King of Glory bids me to come? The prerequisite for the receiving the desires of our hearts is delighting in him. Now, before you attempt to laud your disgruntlement because of unanswered prayers, ask yourself this question. Is the Lord my delight? Could it be that this delay, and I tell the guys I get to talk to on a regular basis, delays from the Lord are purposeful. Could it be that the Lord is allowing space for us to grow to the place where we delight in him? Then you see the next few verses, following delighting in him and receiving the desires of our heart, David then says, and commit your way to the Lord. And trust in him, and he will act. And how does David wrap this up? He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Folks, when you recognize that the Lord, when he transforms us and moves us to where he becomes our delight, the object of our affection, the thing that brings us the greatest joy and peace, and the greatest satisfaction we could ever desire, it's all wrapped up in him. When the Lord becomes our delight, he does exactly what David explains here. He will give you the desires of your heart. And the chief desire will be him and him alone.
Students become billboards for Planned Parenthood. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. California has proposed a bill that would force every student to advertise a Planned Parenthood phone number on their student ID cards. It would be one of five phone numbers listed on the cards for student reference. This new law would apply to middle and high schools and colleges, even Christian schools. Yes, Christian schools would have to give free publicity to the organization that kills innocent babies. Requiring students to promote the phone number of the largest abortion mill in the nation is repulsive. The California legislature should know from experience that they can't force people to be a mouthpiece for Planned Parenthood. It's totally unconstitutional. This law-breaking bill goes before the California Education Assembly in just 2 days. It's a direct attack on the First Amendment and needs to be stopped. Please pray and stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Doc, I've been feeling a little out of sorts lately. Can you help?
Well, let's try a few questions. What do you think of when I say the word Roku?
Oh, my wife and I used to love that dance when we were younger.
Yes, I'd say you're a little out of touch.
What do you recommend?
I recommend you listen to AFR.
American Family Radio. Available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
And then we'd whip, and then we'd nay-nay. Oh, it was wonderful.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. In a well-intentioned but utterly foolish overreaction to the mosque massacre in New Zealand, the Prime Minister is calling for everyone, men and women alike, to wear the hijab. She is also broadcasting the Muslim call to prayer over the entire country. How should Christians respond? First, they must not bow the knee to Baal by putting on the hijab, which is a symbol of submission to Allah. Secondly, they should take the call to prayer as a call to arms to go to war in the spirit against the demon god Allah and the spiritual deception of Islam. Almost 2 billion people worldwide have come under its spell, which can only be broken in the name of Jesus. It's time for all of New Zealand's Christians to put on the full armor of God and use the weapons of our warfare to assault this demonic stronghold.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
I wouldn't be surprised if, for example, this week on Friday, he is going to be delivering what I think are going to be his indictments, the final indictments.
I would not be surprised if there were a number of indictments that still were going to come down the pike.
There are indictments in this president's future.
That's a bombshell.
The bombshell.
This bombshell.
Drop the bombshell.
Bombshell accusation.
Bombshell accusation.
This is evidence of willingness to commit collusion.
If this BuzzFeed News report is true, then we are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
This is suborning perjury. I think there's no question it's an impeachable offense.
And at that point, we are in high crimes and misdemeanor, and we are in impeachment territory.
Right.
This president needs to be impeached.
Impeachment is the remedy. I mean, the president can't.
It's the only remedy.
Oh, my. Well, welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. What did you hear all of that? Did you hear all of that? And before I get too wound up on this, let me say this. I want to give a shout out to Landon on winning his jiu-jitsu tournament over the weekend. Your dad reached out to me, Landon, and let me know that you put the whoop on somebody or several somebody. So I just want to say congratulations on winning your tournament. Your dad is looking out for you, and I am so excited that you did a great job in winning the tournament over this weekend. Kind of were victorious, like President Trump was over the weekend. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that? We are now in the territory of high crime and misdemeanor. Misdemeanor. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, if you haven't heard yet, I'm sure most of you have heard already. But I just want to let you know that Bob Mueller, special counsel, has finally turned in his report on his investigation into President Trump, his campaign, and to all of his family members. Now, you already know, well, if you didn't know, let me say this. If you listen to the AFR, I know you know this already. But you kind of already had an idea concerning what the contents of the report was going to be, because they released it at almost 5 o'clock on a Friday evening. Now, if you just pay a little bit of attention to the media, government agencies and other people like that, they never release anything that they want the media to talk about on a Friday evening. So I knew when it came out Friday evening, oh, this is going to be pretty good for Trump, President Trump. But okay, if you didn't take that forward, and immediately the newly confirmed Attorney General, William Barr, in spite of, and I forgot that young lady's name, she's on CNN, but she claims to be a Republican, who said, high crime and misdemeanor. Did you play that again? You can play the latter part of that clip. When I heard it, I said, whoa, she's frothing at the mouth, it sounds like.
This is evidence of willingness to commit collusion.
If this BuzzFeed News report is true, then we are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
This is suborning perjury. I think there's no question it's an impeachable offense.
And at that point, we are in high crimes and misdemeanor, and we are in impeachment territory.
Right.
This president needs to be impeached.
Impeachment is the remedy. I mean, the president can't.
It's the only remedy.
Impeachment is the remedy. Well, somebody should have waited till Bob Mueller came out, because somebody got some egg on their face. And I'm not just talking about the whites. I'm talking about the whites and the yolks. Because following the Mueller report, and the law requires, and the specificity of the special counsel statute requires that that the report from the special counsel be submitted confidentially to the Attorney General, directly to William Barr himself, which is what took place. Immediately, William Barr produced a 4-page document, which we're going to delve into here, summarizing and concluding what is in the special counsel's report. So let's dig into this a little bit, shall we? Here we go. On Friday, the special counsel submitted to me a confidential report. And let me tell you why I'm doing this. 2 years almost. 1 year, 10 months, and 6 days to be specific. The entire nation has been waiting for the results of this investigation. The basic functioning of the United States government has kind of been brought to a halt to a degree, waiting on this. So it's critically important, although some of the talking snake media would have you think that, it's not, who cares anyway? I mean, these people, Bob Mueller was the man. Bob Mueller was your folk. Now y'all talking about, well, there are seeds of cover-up with Bob Mueller. Like, what? I heard Joy Reid say that. There are seeds of cover-up here with Bob Mueller. Like, really? Okay. But getting into this report. On Friday, the special counsel submitted to me a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions he has reached pursuant to any sites in specific federal statute. This report is entitled Report on the Investigation into Russian Interference in the 2016 Presidential Election. Although my review is ongoing, I believe that it is in the public interest to describe the report and to summarize the principal conclusions reached by the special counsel and the results of his investigation. Now, to be clear, this is William Barr writing his conclusory memorandum on the special counsel Bob Mueller report. He goes on. The report explains that the special counsel and his staff thoroughly investigated allegations that members of the presidential campaign of Donald J. Trump and others associated with it conspired with the Russian government in its efforts to interfere in the 2016 U.S. presidential election or sought to obstruct the related federal investigations. In the report, the special counsel noted that in completing his investigation, listen to this, folks, he employed 19 lawyers who were assisted by a team of approximately 40 FBI agents, intelligence analysts, forensic accountants, and other professional staff. The special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, executed nearly 500 search warrants, obtained more than 230 orders for communication records, issued almost 50 orders authorizing use of PIN registers, made 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence, and interviewed approximately 500 witnesses. This is what he did. This is not in this four-page memo, but they spent over $25 million to do this. $25 million. And we know the overwhelming majority of those 19 lawyers who are on Mueller's team, they all hated Donald Trump. Gave money to Hillary Clinton's campaign. Nevertheless, William Barr's memo had this wonderful little ditty right at the beginning, which sent regressive heads exploding. He says this: the special counsel obtained a number of indictments and convictions of individuals and entities in connection with this investigation, all of which have been publicly disclosed. To that, I can see regressives. I say what now? Wait, they all have been disclosed? Yes. During the course of his investigation, the special counsel also referred several matters to other offices for further action. The report does not recommend any further indictments, nor did the special counsel obtain any sealed indictments that have yet to be made public. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? That means everybody who was going to be indicted, they've already been indicted. That means because President Trump, because President Trump has not been indicted, because nobody in the Trump campaign has been indicted, because nobody on the Trump team has been indicted, they will not be indicted. No indictments. So in spite of all of that you heard just now in that first audio, the indictments are coming, the indictments are coming. Oh my, the indictments are coming. Impeachment. Like that's a different kind of pie. Sweet potato, apple, and impeachment pie. No impeachment pie for you. Then he goes on. The special counsel's report is divided into two parts. The first describes the results. This is William Barr's memorandum. The first describes the results of the special counsel's investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The report outlines the Russian effort to influence the election and documents crimes committed by persons associated with the Russian government in connection with those efforts. The report further explains that a primary consideration for the special counsel's investigation was whether any Americans, including individuals associated with the Trump campaign, joined the Russian conspiracies to influence the election, which would be a federal crime. The special counsel's investigation did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with Russia in its efforts to influence the 2016 U.S. presidential election. You hear that, MSNBC? CNN with your lying selves? They've been saying this for almost 2 years, day in, day out. Day in, day out. According to Bob Mueller, didn't happen. As the report states, quote, now this is a quote from Bob Mueller's report. The investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. Didn't happen. President Trump has been saying this for 2 years. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Bob Mueller confirms it. No so-called collusion. Going further, now this is something I want to unpack because there's been a lot of misinformation surrounding this. This next paragraph is important. I want to try to unpack this for you. The special counsel's investigation determined that there were two main Russian efforts to influence the 2016 election. Pause. Influence is the key word in this sentence, okay? Not meddle, not hack. Influence, and I'll explain that in a second. Back to the report. The first involved attempts by a Russian organization, the Internet Research Agency, to conduct disinformation and social media operations in the United States designed to sow social discord, eventually with the aim of interfering with the election. As noted above, the special counsel did not find that any U.S. person or Trump campaign official or associate conspired or knowingly coordinated with the IRA in its efforts, although the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian nationals and entities in connection with these activities. Now, Because I've heard some people say, well, so the Bob Mueller's report does show that the Russians tried to, they don't say it that way. They said it does show that the Russians interfere in our elections. No. What it shows is that Russia is doing what Russia has always tried to do. And in fact, we didn't need Bob Mueller's report to tell us this, because if you were paying attention, when the tech titans from Google, Facebook, and Twitter all were brought to Capitol Hill to testify, and they were brought to report on what was suspected to have occurred, let me boil this down to you, all right? You had Russian agents creating fake Facebook, Twitter, and Google accounts, sending emails and making memes and things. And the tech titans told you back then, which was included in William Barr's report, that it was an effort to sow discord, not to kick favor to one candidate over another. It was across the board. Now, with the knowledge, man, that what the Russians actually tried to do was to sow discord, how do you think that should apply to this mainstream talking snake media? Because the last 2 years, they've spent the entire 2 years using political opposition research and attempting to give it some imprimatur of legitimacy. When the truth is, from the very beginning, Michael Steele was hired by the Democrat Party. Hired by the Democrat Party to get political opposition research against President Trump. And then James Comey, snake, 6'6" snake, I tell you. In order to get the media to be able to report on it, he gets with Clapper, Obama's national intelligence director, said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to show President Trump a piece of the dossier so we can officially let the reporters know that President Trump has seen it. That way, CNN could begin to report on it. And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. Shows President Trump a part of the dossier, leaks to CNN that, hey, President Trump has seen the P dossier is what it's called. I'm not going to call it that anymore in case you're wondering. But it had those kind of salacious tabloid details in it. And they're reporting on it as if, oh, the development intelligence community has presented a dossier to President Trump. All the while, they knew, folks, that the basis for this was political opposition research. So if Bob Mueller can conclude that the Russians were trying to sow discord, I will tell you, in the judge, in the courtroom of the Hamilton Corner, that I bang my gavel and say these talking snake media companies are guilty of sowing discord too.
Oh,
it's utterly ridiculous. All of this stuff based on all of these lies, and yet they're going to print it and report about it and talk about it as if it was factual. Before coming on the program, Jeff sent me a PolitiFacts 2017 Lie of the Year. Know what it was? Russian election interference is a made-up story. It was a made-up story. But y'all spent all the last 2 years saying, oh, President Trump is a threat to the democracy. He's undermining the 17 intelligence agencies. I'm looking for you. Where are you? Either you're in an agency, you can't be too intelligent. Folks, they literally tried to take down a sitting president of the United States because they didn't like him. For no other reason. I'm telling you, I believe, and this is my opinion, that you can officially, as of right this moment, declare many of these media organizations as enemies of the country. Because that is what they are. You mean to tell me that because you don't like the president, you're gonna work to unseat him, regardless of the fact that the American people lawfully and legitimately elected him? This is ridiculous. And I'm just getting into this. I have more I want to say. I want to remind you of a couple things from back in yesteryear, you know? Some things some people said could never happen. And all of a sudden, everybody is just so smitten that what was said that could never happen, it all of a sudden happened. Why? Orange man bad. Because Trump won the election. More from the Hamilton Corner when we come back. You don't want to miss the remainder of this program. No, you do not. Because it's going to get very, very spicy. Very, very spicy. And thanks to the truth finally coming out that President Trump can literally stand and declare himself vindicated from the salacious effort to take him down.
Here's Walker Wildman for Redeem Clean Laundry Products.
Not only do you get a great product and you get to obviously clean your clothes, get the stains out and use a multi-surface cleaner to clean your countertops and use the dryer sheets, you're doing all of this and the money's going to support the work of American Family Association.
Redeem Clean Laundry Products were developed by AFA supporters Lynn Ingram and Jim Duncan to assist in funding the mission of the American Family Association. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made right here in the United States.
The great thing about Redeem Clean is not only is the product great, but it goes to support a great cause, and that is the work of American Family Association.
For clean laundry and a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
Religious rights versus homosexual demands. This is David Wheaton, host of the Christian Worldview. As the men of Sodom surrounded Lot's house to impose their homosexuality, the homosexual transgender movement is seeking the same through a new bill called the Equality Act. The bill would add sexual orientation and gender identity to federal non-discrimination law with no religious exemption for Christian organizations. For example, it would be illegal for a church to refuse a homosexual wedding, just as it is illegal to refuse one based on skin color. The ramifications are endless. Christians need to, as the Bible says, pray at all times in the Spirit and make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A President Vindicated. That story next. After 675 days, 500 witnesses, and $25 million, Robert Mueller and his team of 20 attorneys concluded there was no collusion. President Trump and his administration have been vindicated. They were victims of a left-wing mob led by Democrats and goaded on by willing accomplices in the mainstream media. Their actions have brought great shame and disgrace to the profession of journalism. There will be some, both Republican and Democrat, who say it's time to move on, but I disagree. Now is the time to expose the deep state perpetrators of the Russia hoax. They tried to stage a coup to overthrow a duly elected president, and they must be held accountable. So once and for all, we can now say without a shadow of a doubt that Donald J. Trump is the duly elected president of these great United States, not because of the Russians, but because of gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
There is no serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections, in part because they're so decentralized and the numbers of votes involved. There's no evidence that that has happened in the past or that there are instances in which that will happen this time.
No serious person. This was what Mr. Obama said. No serious person would believe you can rig our election. So I want to ask you lying snakes in the media, what happened? What made it all of a sudden possible? Oh, I forgot. Trump beat Hillary. That's what made it possible. Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm just getting warmed up. Eddie, you were right. No serious person. Of course, President Obama said that when everybody thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. No serious person would conclude that our election could even be rigged. So former President Obama really told us, man, we don't need to waste our $25 million. Ridiculous. Let me go on. The second part of the Russian interference narrative that Attorney General William Barr highlighted was this. Quote, the second element involved the Russian government's efforts to conduct computer hacking operations designed to gather and disseminate information to influence the election. The special counsel found that Russian government actors successfully hacked into computers and obtained emails from persons affiliated with the Clinton campaign and Democratic Party organizations and publicly disseminated those materials through various intermediaries, including WikiLeaks. You want to know how that happened, folks? Because John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, her campaign chairman, had password for his password on his email. And what occurred is that you had Russians sending a regular phishing scam. You know how you get those emails? That, oh, your Nigerian cousin just has $25 million to deposit right now into your bank account. And all you need to know is to send him your email username and password. And this person made in the image of God responded to a phishing scheme. And there is evidence that John Podesta's passwords are not very complex. One of his email accounts, the password was P@SSWORD. And you gonna call that a hack? You know what I call that? Boo Boo the Fool is what I call that. That's what they're talking about, folks. Listen, Lord, I'm going to play another piece of audio for you. In spite of Hillary Clinton's attempt to hit a reset button, Russia is not America's friend. They've never been America's friend. And they won't be America's friend. Russia's efforts to interfere in our election in 2016 were just as they were in 2015 and 2014 and preceding years. And it's only now that regressives and members of the Democrat Party has a problem with the Russians trying to influence our politics. Because you can go all the way back to the 1930s to where you have some in the Democrat Party, oh yeah, we like the Russian model. Yeah, we can go back to Ted Kennedy where he was corresponding with Russian foreign ambassadors behind the scenes trying to help subvert Ronald Reagan's presidency. But now, all of a sudden, it's a problem. And in fact, prior to the 2012 election, when Mittens, y'all know I don't like Mittens Romney, but Mittens tried to tell the American people and President Obama at the time that the Russians represented a geopolitical threat. Remember his response? Play clip number 3.
Governor Romney, I'm glad that you recognize that Al-Qaeda is a threat, because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not Al-Qaeda, you said Russia. In the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back because, you know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years.
The 1980s are calling for their foreign policy back. But now y'all suckers want to cry about Russia. Man, go sit down somewhere. Y'all ain't fooling anybody. The only enemies y'all are interested in subverting is the will of the American people. Y'all have more problems with American citizens than you do with Muslim terrorists, than you do with illegal immigrants, than you even do with foreign national powers. Ridiculous. But getting back to this part, William Barr notes, but as noted above, the special counsel did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts, despite multiple offers from Russian-affiliated individuals to assist the Trump campaign. Oh! So you mean to tell me that Bob Mueller found that even as nefarious Russian entities tried to get the attention of the Trump campaign, they said, nah, we don't want to have nothing to do with y'all. Man, these people make me sick, because all of this time, and if you focus the ire of your attention on the efforts to thwart President Trump, I think you're missing the whole ball game, because the persons who they're literally trying to thwart, who they are really trying to thwart, is the will of the American people. President Trump is just a figurehead. You can take him out and put somebody else in. If it was somebody that was going to oppose their globalist America last agenda, they were going to fight against them. The next half of the analysis in William Barr's letter is the obstruction of justice claim. And this is where, oh, man. I mean, these people, they're like Effie on Dreamgirls. And I'm telling you, I ain't going nowhere. They're not going to let it go. And if you listen to the program, you know I told you this. That's why they were drumming up the House investigations already. Because a lot of them already knew it was going to go against what they wanted to have happen. So they already have Adam Schiff and all these other people, Jerry Nadler, conducting House investigations. Well, can I tell you something? Newsflash. The House of Representatives doesn't have any prosecutorial power. So anything they find, guess where they're going to have to send it? By William Barr and the Department of Justice. Folks, this is about politics, not criminality. I said it the moment that Michael Cohen's offices were raided. I said, oh, this is not about criminality anymore. Remember that? This is all about politics. Because nothing they found in Michael Cohen's office in violation of attorney-client privilege would be admissible at trial in court. So I said, oh, this is about politics. There's not going to be any indictments now. No way. And here we get this. Obstruction of justice. Here we go. Back to William Barr's memo. After making a thorough factual investigation into these matters, the special counsel considered whether to evaluate the conduct under department standards governing prosecution and declination decisions, but ultimately determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment. This is on the obstruction of justice count. The special counsel, therefore, did not draw a conclusion one way or the other as to whether the examined conduct constituted obstruction. Instead, for each of the relevant actions investigated, the report sets out evidence on both sides of the question and leaves unresolved what the special counsel views as difficult issues of law and fact concerning whether the president's actions and intent could be viewed as obstruction. The special counsel states that, quote, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him, end quote. This is legal gobbledygook, folks. This is legal gobbledygook. When Bob Mueller's report says that this also does not exonerate him, it's legal gobbledygook. Can I tell you why? A person can only be exonerated if they've been officially charged with something. This is circuitous reasoning, circuitous writing. The president can't be exonerated of an obstruction charge because he was never formally charged with obstruction. That's like me saying you were acquitted for the charges. Well, if you never were formally charged criminally, you can't be acquitted. He's trying to play flat, fast and loose here and trying to offer a softball to the Democrats in the House of Representatives so they can keep going on with their investigations. But William Barr, I keep wanting to call him Bob. His name is William. William Barr shuts that down real quick. Let me show you how. Back to his memo. The special counsel's decision to describe the facts of his obstruction investigation without reaching any legal conclusions leaves it to the Attorney General to determine whether the conduct described in the report constitutes a crime. So he can say he didn't make a decision, but he did. Because if you as special counsel have the lawful authority to indict somebody, then you either indict them or you don't. Your refusal to indict them remains your answer on the issue. So William Barr says, oh, he won't make a decision? That leaves it up to me. Look at William Barr says. Over the course of the investigation, the special counsel's office engaged in discussions with certain department officials regarding many of the legal and factual matters at issue in the special counsel's obstruction investigation. After reviewing the special counsel's final report on these issues, consulting with department officials, including the Office of Legal Counsel, and applying the principles of federal prosecution that guide our charging decisions, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and I have concluded that the evidence developed during the special counsel's investigation is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. Folks, it's over. You can listen to CNN, MSNBC, NBC, tell your mama who got a fella if you want to, but it's over. It's a wrap, Jack. Nobody's going to be charged with obstruction of anything. Why? Because that decision has to be made by William Barr. And he just told you that it's not happening. They've already made the decision. So getting back to everything that the House of Representatives is going to try to do, the ultimate decision whether or not to charge the president with anything is going to come down to William Barr. So everything they're talking, and this was the whole objective from the very beginning. Let me try to unpack this. Create this fake dossier with Michael Steele, who had already even been dismissed from the FBI as a credible informant. You got to remember that. The FBI says, for everything else, you are no longer a credible witness, but we'll use you for this FISA warrant. Make up the FISA warrant to get rolling secret intelligence warrants. When the president said his phones were tapped, he was telling the truth. Telling the truth. James Comey shows it to President Trump, just the first page. He didn't even show him the whole thing. So the media can start reporting on it. And then all of a sudden, Lisa Page and Peter Strzok's backup plan is in motion. And they roped the entire American populace into a conversation about a manufactured criminality. I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on. This should really anger you. Just think if you think for 1 second, what would have happened if George W. Bush's Department of Justice used a phony dossier to start an investigation into Barack Obama? And then in the first 2 years of his presidency, spent the entire time investigating whether Barack Obama colluded with Russians. And they knew it never happened, but kept it going. Back to William Barr's memo. In making this determination, this is concerning his decision that there's no evidence to support a claim of obstruction. In making this determination, we noted that the special counsel recognized that the evidence does not establish that the president was involved in an underlying crime related to Russian election interference. And that, while not determinative, the absence of such evidence bears upon the president's intent with respect to obstruction. Generally speaking, to obtain and sustain an obstruction conviction, the government would need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a person acting with corrupt intent engaged in obstructive conduct with a sufficient nexus to a pending or a contemplated proceeding. In cataloging the president's actions, many of which took place in public view, the report identifies no actions that, in our judgment, constitute obstructive conduct, had a nexus to a pending or contemplated proceeding, and were done with corrupt intent, each of which, under the department's principles of federal prosecution, guiding charging decisions, would need to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt to establish an obstruction of justice offense. To say it simply, there can be no obstruction of justice because the president never colluded with anybody. So if there's no evidence of collusion, any actions he took could not be construed as him trying to stop a collusion investigation. To say it again, like I said it before, folks, this is a big, fat $25 million, two-year nothing burger. And their goal all along, it was never to impeach the president, not before the 2020 election. Because if they did, they'd have to deal with Mike Pence, that's first. And secondarily, if they did impeach the president and they were successful in removing him, they would no longer have any campaign issues with 2020. No, the goal was to rope-a-dope a la Muhammad Ali to keep everybody in the country talking about collusion, obstruction, indictment, nothing having to do with the election, have that going all the while to continue to try to paint President Trump as this outstanding figure of objection to gin up a Democrat base to try to win back. I told you guys this before, and I'm telling you again, to try to win the Congress as a whole during the midterms and to build momentum to try to beat President Trump in 2020. All this talk about impeachment, I'm telling you here and now, ain't nobody trying to impeach nothing before the 2020 election. They just want people to think in those terms so President Trump can have a cloud hovering over him going into 2020. But I'm going to tell you that I think this is going to backfire. And this is why. I think fair-minded people, even if they were inclined to hate President Trump, if they would be fair-minded, I ain't talking about the whacked out regressives that are going to hate President Trump no matter what he does. The man could cure cancer and they still would hate him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fair-minded people in the country, many of whom may not like the president. I think they're going to find themselves sitting back in their chairs and thinking, wait a minute, after all of these years, where the entire weight of the entire Department of Justice, the news media, outlets who report 99% of the time negatively against President Trump, and they still haven't found anything that can stick to him, maybe we need to give this man a chance. And in spite of it all, look how the country is performing. I think it's going to backfire ultimately.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.